like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on a never spinning reel, like a snowball down a mountain or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind, like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Keys that jingle in your pocket, words that jangle in your head, why did summer go so quickly, was it something that you said? Lovers walk along the shore and leave their footprints in the sand, is the sound of distant drumming just the fingers of your hand? Pictures hanging in a hallway and a fragment of a song, half-remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to the colour of her hair. A circle in a spiral, a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever-spinning reel, as the images unwind like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind.
Heading north of Worthing, you come to a little hamlet called High Salvington, and sitting on the hill on Furze Road is a wonderful windmill, for want of a better description. I'm joined by Greg, who is going to tell us a little bit about this wonderful structure. So, how long has it actually been here?
Welcome, first off. Welcome to High Salvington Windmill. It's an 18th century windmill. It was built in 1756, and it replaced a windmill that was on site here that burnt down, but it was insured, believe it or not, back in the day, and they used the insurance money to build this magnificent beast here. It's what's known as a post mill. It's basically a huge windmill, but it's supported on a single post, which is held upright by a trestle and held off the ground, because basically the whole thing weighs about 30 tons. And if you could imagine a huge post with a T-piece across it, we're able to rotate the mill through the full 360 degrees, so you can turn it into the wind to get as much power as possible to grind. It's been fully restored, and it grinds. But it only grinds, unfortunately, when there's really quite a strong wind. It's built up here on the hill. In the day, there were no trees, no houses around and about, and it would have faced out and picked up the breezes coming in from the sea. Rather ironically now, it doesn't get the sea breezes, but if you go up to the top and look out of the window, you can look across to the wind farm and see the massive great turbines working out there, taking full advantage of the sea breezes. But there you go.
But so they basically, the wind farms have actually worked on the same principle as the post mill.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, wind power has been with us for years and years. I think the Persians had windmills. As I say to people when I'm doing my guided tours, I'm not particularly technical. There are some wonderful people around who did an awful lot of the renovation work here. I'm more art and literature. So Geoffrey Chaucer wrote the Canterbury Tales in about 1350. And, of course, he wrote the Miller's Tale, which, if you've a mind to read it, is one of the filthiest of the Canterbury Tales. It's great fun. But if you look at the illustrations, it's not that dissimilar to the mill that we've got here. But that's 400 years later. We've had the motor car for what, 140, 150 years? Think how it's developed. Think of the research and development, the trial and error, the things that have happened. And what we've got here up at High Salvington is a working example of really, you know, the pinnacle of research and development as far as wind power for its time was concerned. Not long after it was built, of course, the Industrial Revolution comes along, and they didn't, you know, develop steam mills for a very long time afterwards. This thing only stopped working in 1900. But when you go inside, or if you come on a tour and have a look around, they've pinched bits. They've got things like mechanical governors, which obviously weren't around when it was built, but they've pinched the idea from steam engines, steam locomotion and traction engines and things, and used it to govern the gap between the two stones and do all sorts of clever stuff. It really is. It's a lovely thing and a great community resource.
In comparison, because there's several other windmills in Sussex, how does this rank? Is it one of the best?
Oh, well, it's like asking to choose your favourite child, isn't it, really? Well, I mean, of course I'm going to say this one's one of the best, because it's fully restored. It does still grind. It does still produce flour. Of its type, I think it must be pretty much unique. I'm trying to think of the other mills. I don't think we've got another post mill quite like this. There are various types of mill, some erected on posts like this one, which you physically turn around. Some have just the upper part that can rotate. Some have tails on and turn automatically. But this is pretty special.
Is there any significance in the colour of it? Because it's sort of like a dark brown. And I know sort of like the Jack and Jill, they tend to be white.
Do you know, I haven't the faintest idea. It never occurred to me. I know that we wanted to make darn sure that having restored it, we'd got some jolly good wood preservative over it. As to the choice of colour, I really don't know. You've got me scratching my head now. I shall have to go off and find out about that.
All right, lovely. Thank you for that. Let's go and explore inside,
yes,
shall we?
Yes, by all means.
Yeah. sweet as a kiss of the songs of a cabin, soft as the dew is the touch of a lunar moon.
We're now standing at the foot of the mill, and Greg has just unlocked this great long arm. And what are we doing now?
Well, we're standing at the bottom of a very wide set of steps going up to a single, quite narrow door. And the question I always ask people when I'm showing them around is, why on earth go to all that effort making such a huge, wide set of steps if you're only going to walk up and down one side of it to the door? And the answer is, it's the anchor. The steps themselves are great heavy wood, and they weigh about 3 tons. And it's what stops the mill from turning around, being blown around in the wind. And we have a lovely lever system, which means that I can simply pull on a chain here, and I've just lifted 3 ton of steps, and the mill is now able to move to and fro. I'm just pushing quite gently here, and I'm actually at the end of the tail post, and I'm moving a 30-ton mill to and fro so that it could catch the wind if we had any. Needless to say, it's a dead calm. But there you go. But very clever, very simple engineering, and I'll put it back down again and we'll go up the steps and into the mill.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
It's We've climbed the steps and we're now inside the mill, and right in front of us is the post.
Indeed, yes, we're standing on the first floor, as it were. It's known as the spout floor because there are a series of spouts coming down from the floor above us that actually contain the stones that do the grinding and produce the flour. But we are standing at the top of the post in front of me. It's carved, taken from a single trunk of oak, and it went in or before 1756. Now it's huge. It is a massive trunk of oak. We're at the top end of it, the thinner bit. It goes down to the ground below us, and bearing in mind they've taken off the sapwood, they've taken off the bark, that was one seriously big trunk. And I reckon the speed with which oak trees grow, that was probably a sapling, well, at least Queen Elizabeth I, if not Henry VIII. And that bit of wood has lived through most of the English history that that we've learned about at school, which I just think is rather lovely. You can go up and touch it, and it's just been there. But it's supporting a huge cross piece, a T-piece, and when the mill turns, turns into the wind, out of the wind, that is to say, that crosspiece turns on the top of this post. Which means, if you think about it, the floor we're standing on, those 3-ton steps outside, the sails, the stones above us, everything is hanging from that crosspiece, which, bearing in mind this went in 1756, is pretty impressive. The crosspiece is, in fact, new. It's a replacement. It was replaced in the renovations. But nonetheless, pretty impressive stuff.
As we're surrounded by so much wood, is there a lot of wood preservative on here? Because being by the coast, one tends to get the woodworm, etc., creeping in.
Yeah, I think the newer timbers have all been treated. I think that the post itself is so old now and hard that it would have to take some kind of superhuman or super woodworm to actually get his teeth into it. Woodworm tend to attack the softwood, the sapwood. Mm. They don't go all the way through, so we're fairly safe on that. But the rest of it, the newer stuff that's gone in, I think has got preservative on it, but most of the older bits, they've been around quite happily for a long time now.
Oh, the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. And I was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. In a lonely shack by a railroad track, I spent my younger days. And I guess the sound of the outward bound made me a slave to my wandering ways. On the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. I tried my best to settle down. She's now alone with a broken heart. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind that yearns to wander. Next of kin to the
the top layer, so to speak, of the mill. What have we got here?
Well, you've got the drive wheel, an enormous great drive wheel attached to a wind shaft, which is another trunk of oak, which sticks out the front, and to the front of that is attached the four sweeps or sails.
What's the drive wheel made of?
Right, okay, so it's three different types of wood. We've got elm, we've got oak, and we've got apple. Elm, because it will bend and we can form the wheel. Oak, because it's extremely strong, and that's the cross pieces. And then the teeth, there's 136 of them, I think, are made out of apple wood. Various mills use various woods for the teeth, but they tended to be fruits because they're quite a waxy wood and they self-lubricate. And one revolution of this enormous great wheel will cause the millstone to rotate, I think it's 9 times, so it's quite a hefty ratio.
Is most of the wheel original?
Right. What we've got up here are two wheels. We've got this great big enormous one which we still use, and that is entirely new. That was made by the volunteers to replace the existing one, which was rotten and weak and was never going to work. But there is a secondary wheel called a compass wheel, and this mill has two sets of stones. And the compass wheel is original. It went in 1756 or thereabouts. So you've got the two opposite ends of conservation, really. You've got it's completely preserved original compass wheel, which will never ever take load because it's so full of wood preserver, cellulose, repair work and so on. It will crumble to dust if we tried to use it, but it's original. And you've got a complete reproduction replacing the old one, which works. And it is an exact reproduction, but it does mean that the mill can still today perform the task that it was built for all those years ago, which is rather lovely.
Fine. Looking round, the big beam above our head is presumably the one that comes from the sails.
Yes, that's the wind shaft. And as I said, that's another great solid piece of oak. And above that, you can see an enormous great big hopper. And we are standing, or I am standing at the moment, on a trapdoor. And in light winds, when you're not going to actually connect the drive wheel up to the main stones, you can just use the wheel to hoist grain up so that you've got quite literally, you know, half a ton of grain ready to grind when the wind is strong enough.
The grain goes into the hopper,
yep.
Then comes down.
It would have come down there through a canvas tube or whatever into a secondary hopper here.
Right.
And then the secondary hopper feeds
the grain. Oh, I see. Covered in glass so you can't touch it.
So you don't get your fingers caught.
That's right. The stone, is it original or is that... How long would a stone last?
Right. The stones were regularly dressed. Mm-hmm. There were professional stone dressers who, like window cleaners, would have a round, and they would go around the mills, and you have to lift the stone and, using very sharp implements, cut out ridges in them, because they're not smooth. They have deliberate ridges so that there's a scissor action cutting the grains open and releasing the contents. I don't know how old this one is. You can still get millstones. There's still, and this is an English millstone. It's a Derbyshire grit, as far as I'm aware. The secondary set of stones we've got that don't work now are a French composite quartz. But we have on site a very old millstone outside as you come in, which is there basically to show people just how heavy it is, and they did wear eventually. Yeah.
In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm hold of your love and mine, to feel you all around me, and to take your hand along the sand. Ah, but I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown passes, pales the sky. I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes would find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing. 'Twould make me sing. I bet I may as well try and catch the wind. All my blues behind. For standing in your heart is where I want to be and long to be. I bet I may as well try and catch the wind.
Of the stone floor, of the sort of the workings of the mill. In front of us, there is a mesh tube. And if you look carefully at the mesh, you'll see that there are three different grades of mesh. There's a very fine grade, a medium grade, and quite a coarse grade. Having ground your flour and taken it down to through the spouts downstairs, it would be sacked up, and then you could bring it back up again on your hoist and put it through this gadget, which is a flour grader. That basically you put your flour in at one end, through the power of the wind, it shakes the tube, shakes the flour through, and you get your fine flour, you know, for your cakes, your ordinary flour for your bread and baking, and then the husks and things for animal feed at the end of it. And those of you who are old enough to remember Fred the flour grader from the Home Pride adverts of the 1980s, the little bowler-hatted man that used to say graded grains make finer flour, there is nothing new on the face of the earth, because I'm standing looking at a flour grader dating from, 1760, 1770, something like that.
Must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You've been content to let me shine. You always walked a step behind. I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. Only a face without a name. I never once heard you complain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And every but you are the wind beneath my wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. I would be nothing without you.
Hopper here, what would this one be?
This is an identical copy of the big one before. So when the two stones were capable of grinding, then exactly the same would happen at the back as could happen at the front.
The fire's Joe, and they call the wind Mariah. Mariah blows the stars around and sends the clouds a-flying. Mariah makes the mountains sound like folks were up there dying. Before I knew Mariah's name and heard her wail and whining, I had a girl and she had me, and the sun was always shining. But then one day I left my girl, I left her far behind me, and now I'm lost, so golden lost, not even God can find me. Here they got a name for rain, for wind and fire only. But when you're lost and all alone, there ain't no word but lonely. And I'm a lost and lonely man, without a star to guide me. Mariah, blow my love to me, I need my girl beside me.
Mariah, Mariah,
Right, we've now come down to the lower part of the mill. And, Greg, what have we got in here?
Right, well, we're in what's now known as the roundhouse. And it's basically an enclosure around the lower part of the post and the four enormous quarter bars that support the main post just off the ground. If it was allowed to take the full weight of the mill, it would just sink into the ground under its own weight and rot. So the weight is spread on four fairly enormous quarter bars. So instead of taking the full 30 tons at the base, it's sort of 7.5 tons on each quarter bar. When the mill was built, it probably didn't have a roundhouse, but they would have soon realised that they needed to, you know, protect it from the elements and just built a shelter around it. And it would have been a shed. It would have been somewhere to store stuff. When the mill stopped grinding in about 1900, a local businessman bought the mill and he replaced the old wooden roundhouse with a concrete structure and turned it into a tea room. And it became quite the thing in sort of late Victorian Edwardian society to get the charabanc from Worthing Seafront and come up to High Salvington Windmill for your tea. And for an extra halfpenny, you could have a tour of the mill, much as we've been having there today. And it saved the mill, because if it hadn't been for this sort of late Victorian version of Alan Sugar with an eye to the main chance, there would have been nothing to preserve. It would have just been left to rot. It was in a pretty sorry state when work started on it, in the 60s, early 70s. And through an awful lot of hard work, we now have a working mill, which is really rather lovely.
And talking of finances, obviously it costs a lot of money to keep it maintained. How do you raise money for keeping maintenance going, etc.?
Well, basically we have open days on the first and third Sunday of every month from April through to September. If you come up from 2:30 to about 5 o'clock, 5:30, it'll cost you a whole pound to get in. Children are free. You get a free tour of the mill included in that if you want to. We have a nice tea room and we will flog you very nice homemade teas and cakes. You can buy some souvenir flour in the shop if you want to. And it's a pleasant afternoon out. Coupled in with that, we have other special events. So we have a fete every year and we have a tabletop sale and we have some vintage cars Sundays. On National Mill Day, we have radio hams come up and play around here. And we also open up to private tours. If you are a member of a group, a Rotary or whatever, and you fancy a tour, or Boy Scout group, Girl Guides, Brownies, we've had them all up here, and we'll give them an evening's interesting look around, and we can tailor a visit to suit the interests of the people that come up.
And are all those events actually paid to keep it going?
Oh, yes, yeah, that's it, that's about it. It is self-funding. This roundhouse has got gaping great holes in it at the moment, and we're desperate to raise some money. It's going to cost us at least £5,000 to get that repaired. Every penny helps. The other thing we're always keen on is volunteers. Just, you don't have to be incredibly technical. You can come up and help in the shop, or help in the tea room, or you can sit on the gate and take money, or you can join in and become a guide. Or just, we've got one wonderful man that comes up and mows the lawn, the grass up here. But he has to have holidays, so, you know, if you just want to come up and do a bit of manual labour now and again. It's a nice community resource, it's a nice way of meeting people, getting involved, and it's a lovely, lovely old building.
Because there's another way that you can actually support the High Salvington Windmill, and that's to become a member, isn't it?
Oh, indeed, yes. I can't remember how much it is. It's about five or a year, I think, or 40 quid, I think, will get you life membership. Mm. But yes, we are... Technically, the mill is owned by Worthing Council, but there is a High Salvington Windmill Trust who administer, generally run the mill, and who are responsible for raising the finance and generally looking after it.
Brilliant. Lovely. Thank you very much for this tour. And when's the next open day?
Oh, now you're asking.
I know you've got a classic car show coming up very shortly,
yes,
at the beginning of August.
I can't for the life of me remember it's this Sunday or next Sunday. What I can say is that we're on Facebook. We have our own webpage. If you Google High Salvington Windmill, you will find all the information you require.
Yes, and if you go to their website, there is a wonderful history a potted history of High Salvington Windmill, giving the details that the height of it is 320 foot high. Yes, so yes, go to the website at High Salvington Windmill and you can pick up all the information you need. Thank you, Greg, once again for a lovely morning of finding out the history of one of Worthing's secrets.
You're very welcome.